When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Injured at work in a motor vehicle accident or had a fall in a public space? Speak to Your Claim Lawyers, a no-win, no-fee personal injury claims law firm that specialises in maximising compensation claims for injured people. Call 1-800-YOUR-CLAIM or yourclaimlawyers.com.au.
You're listening to This Is Your Journey with Sam Edmund. For Tobin Brothers Funerals, visit tobinbrothers.com.au. Tobin Brothers Funerals, celebrating lives.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show, made possible by our friends at Tobin Brothers Funerals, celebrating lives. Well, today, we're joined by two men who have tasted success on football's biggest stage. Geelong's Matthew Stokes and Sydney's Paul Williams each won grand finals in their long and distinguished careers. And in the days before their old sides ventured back into the furnace this weekend, we caught up with the Cats forward and the Swans midfielder. And we start with the former. Matthew Stokes, welcome. Thanks for joining us.
No, thanks for having me.
Three grand finals you played for the Cats, premierships in 07 and 11 and the disappointment of 08 in between. When this weekend rolls around for you, I was keen to know, do you think of the joy of winning the two or the pain of the missed opportunity of the other one?
The pain of the missing one.
Really?
Definitely the first thing that comes to my mind. I think when you think about this time, you think about the stress going through to some of the players too. There's so much that goes behind the scenes of getting to the grand final, but also to the final grand final week. You know, getting your family members to the game, getting tickets, all the stuff that should be irrelevant because you're playing the most important game of your life seems to be the most craziest Sunday to the Tuesday is, it's just a nightmare. I really do feel players' pains when they go through it because the amount of ticket requests you get as a player is crazy.
And does that get easier? Like, you played in three grand finals. Do you get better at that as it goes on?
No, not at all. By the time you got to the third one, you've met more people, you've got more friends. So it is a bit of a nightmare, but I think the quicker you can sort of keep that to the side or nip it in the bud and then be able to focus on what you're meant to be doing, and that's playing the game, the better off you are. But I think it's also too having really good people around you to make sure that the requests don't get out of control. I mean, even Geelong playing this week, the amount of ticket requests coming from people is extraordinary, and I haven't played for 5 years. So, it's not the great part of the grand final, but it's definitely part of it.
You're still getting hassled. I love it.
My family's deep, mate. My family's deep.
So that's all the housekeeping. That's all logistics. What about, as you say, playing? I mean, how were you able to process the week, the enormity that comes with, you know, one day, one game, and I guess the gravity of a winner-takes-all envelope that sits over our game?
Yeah, you don't really know the ramifications leading into the game. I think you look at it and go, yes, yeah, really, you know, really important game. Obviously, we've got to the final game of the year, and that's what we strive to do as a team. But now that you've finished, now that you're retired and you understand the gravity of what you've been able to achieve, and I think I was really young, my second year, the 2007 granny, so to be able to win on not much going through, spending too much time at an AFL list doesn't really... you don't understand what it actually means until probably the 2011 when we won that, been around for 6 years, you know, obviously lost 2008, was injured 2009. So you understand the AFL industry and the career of an AFL player, so you cherish it a little bit better. But, you spend every moment sort of thinking about the big moments, you know, kicking the goals and all that. But it's, you know, there's beauty in the struggle. And I mean, in saying that, to get to the grand final, you start to, you know, look back on what you were able to achieve during the year.
Yeah. But even in 2007, you mentioned you're able to shield yourself off from all that stuff. I mean, the club hadn't won a flag for, what, 44 years? I mean, the city of Geelong was beside itself at the time.
It's been 44 years since Geelong has won the premiership. Coach Mark Thompson believes it's about time.
It's been a long time since we've won one, and Port only won one, what, 3 years ago or so. We're more deserving.
The blue and white of the police, is that, we take that as a tip of who you'll be supporting tomorrow?
Correct, yes.
Oh, it's very special. I mean, how often do you get pretty much a state running behind you? So it's a big day, and like I said, fingers crossed that we can give them all something to cheer about.
Port coach Mark Williams is happy to play the underdog.
You know, the expectations all on Geelong
And if they don't deliver, they'll probably pull the place down.
The anticipation of people. So no pressure that came with that, or just pure excitement?
Nah, there was pressure, but pure excitement. I mean, I'll tell the story of Dave Johnson was playing in the reserves, got arrested on a Friday night or Thursday night.
That's right.
So that was probably took the heat off all the players, to be honest. If we would have lost Dave Johnson, probably be the most hated man in Geelong. And Barmy told the group leading up to the parade on the Friday, and it sort of calmed the players down. You know, Neil Barm getting up on the bus and saying, well, Dave Johnson was arrested last night, and the whole bus erupted. the pressure that took off us was amazing, because I think we were a group that was pretty relaxed. You know, I mean, I've heard about the story of how Jimmy Bartel, how we let the goat on the training track on the Friday, and that was all part of our makeup of a footy club and as a footy group. So, you know, that was part of it. But the pressure that was there, I mean, 100% it was. But it did help when you had a great team around you to be able to shield you from that pressure.
And the game itself, I mean, it's easy to from the outside looking in, but it was put to bed early, 5-2 in the first quarter. You're up by 50-odd at halftime. But when did you as a player allow yourself to realise that you'd won it?
Well, my kneecap popped out in the last part of the first quarter.
Yes.
So I was still running on adrenaline. But I think after the half, we knew if we could just get a goal really quickly off the back end of halftime, would be, you know, was pretty much locked in. And I think I got the ball and kicked it to my great friend Cameron Mooney, and he slotted one from the boundary, and that was the moment where I was like, yeah, we've got this.
Stokes, time to assess and deliver. That is a lovely kick.
It's time to party. And it's sort of, with our group, I mean, everyone wants to be the man. You know, with Steve Johnson, we had Chappie, we had Gaz, we had Jimmy. So these guys were all, it was showtime for those boys. And it was an amazing experience to be able to play a quarter and a half of football knowing that we already won and we're about to become premiership brothers.
Yeah, and what a roller coaster for you. You mentioned that kneecap. Now, when that happened in front of the members, I reckon it was in the first quarter, I don't reckon there was a man, woman or child who wouldn't have said that you hadn't done your ACL. Like, it looked for all money that you'd done the full box and dice. Can you take us through the moment and whether you actually believed that at the time?
I didn't know what to believe. I did feel the pain, and I did feel it pop out and then go straight back in. And I remember just looking at the doctor asking, am I okay? And he's just like, no, you're not good. And he was one of my best mates, you know, Dr. Jeff Allen. Chris Bradshaw was there as well. And it was like, what is there anything I can do? And they said, the only thing we can do is strap you and give you a jab and see what it feels like. And I remember just getting the jab and all of a sudden feeling like we could play again. And I remember it wearing out about 10 o'clock that night, and the pain and the swelling that came with it. It took me probably about 6 months to get over it from that point of view. But, I mean, if you have to go through a bit of pain to get the ultimate, I mean, I'll do it every day of the week.
Isn't that amazing? Modern medicine, eh?
Oh, unbelievable. It was incredible.
So statistically, at this stage, 2008, the next year, was your best year individually. I think nearly 400 touches, 38-17 on the scoreboard, but your worst game for some time came in that year's grand final loss to Hawthorn. I wanted to ask what state you were in physically while we're on the injury subject before the 08 grand final.
Yeah, look, I was I had my best year by a mile until about round 19 or 20, I think it was. I started to get osteopenitis, and I was getting injections pretty much twice a week, and then leading into a game. And with it being so close to finals, we thought it'd be best to keep playing instead of trying to have a rest and try to come back. And
yeah, why is that?
It was horrendous. It was the worst pain I've felt for a long, long time.
Why is that? Once you stop, it would be too hard to get going again, or?
Yeah, I think so. I definitely thought that was probably the case from the medical team. And, you know, Bomber was like, you know, we're going to back you in no matter what. So just get through whatever you can. And the some of the stuff that we had to do, I did everything I did with Darren Milburn that year because he had the same injury. And we're doing recovery sessions at night, you know, before training. We're getting injections, constant physio throughout the day. And it just wasn't getting any better for me. And I'm very forever grateful that Bomber backed me in, but at the same time, I probably wasn't right to play in the 2008 grand final. And, you know, my job was to stop Hodgie, which didn't work out too well.
You get the feeling that Luke Hodge might have a target on him. It becomes a team responsibility. Any chance they get, certainly in the first quarter of an hour, they'll test it. And that's a tough responsibility, a tough contract to take into the game.
There's obviously the footage of me trying to punch the shit out of his ribs. Sorry about the language. It didn't work very well. So, you know, obviously winning the Norm Smith and us losing.
Matthew Stokes, looks like he's tailing Luke.
Here we go.
Crisk again. Hodge is the target. They've come for him already.
So, like I said before, it's unfortunate, but it's part of the parcel of losing a grand final. It's probably you think about it more than the wins.
And how did you, I guess, so you've had your best year individually. You're always going to back yourself in. As you say, the coach who's been around, he backs you in too. So you're always going to do that. But did you carry any regret out of the other side, or it was just worth rolling the dice?
Nah, it was regret. I regret it pretty much daily, to be honest. I mean, looking at the players in the eyeballs, I was one of the guys where I wasn't one of our best players, but I always was committed to the team. And I always thought that I always could able to look my teammates in the eyes after game and know that I played my best and tried everything I could, even when I did play bad games. But after that, I just couldn't look my teammates in the eyes. I knew I'd let them down severely, and also to Bomber himself. So it's a pretty big burden to carry around. It's still, like I said, I think about it daily. Every time I think of Hawthorn, I think of it. So, you know, it's something that it comes part of it, being a professional athlete, falling down, but also too does motivate you to get better. And I think 09, I learnt my lesson in 08 and was able to then say, look, I'm not going to play 09 because my body was actually cooked again. So you do learn from it. You never lose, you learn. So that was part of it.
Yeah, well, just on that, up next, I reckon we'll talk about that selflessness of 09, the redemption of 2011. That's up next with Matty Stokes. You're listening to This Is Your Journey. It's thanks to Tobin Brothers Funerals, a family-owned business since 1934.
Welcome to This Is Your Journey with Sam Edmund. For Tobin Brothers Funerals, visit tobinbrothers.com.au. Tobin Brothers Funerals, celebrating lives. You're listening to This Is Your Journey with Sam Edmund. For Tobin Brothers Funerals, visit tobinbrothers.com.au. Tobin Brothers Funerals, celebrating lives.
Hello, it's great to have your company on This Is Your Journey. It's made possible by Tobin Brothers Funerals, celebrating lives. We're with Geelong's dual premiership forward midfielder, Matthew Stokes. So Stokesy, the Cats, your Cats, bounced back really hard in 09 after the devastation of the year before. You finished second to St Kilda. You won the qualifying final. You went through to a prelim that you would win easily over Collingwood by 73 points, but you weren't there. Now, you played in the qualifying final. You kicked a pair of goals, but you pulled out of the prelim, didn't you?
Yeah, look, I had issues with my groins again. I had a slight tear in it, and I knew pretty quickly that I wasn't going to be right to play. I also had a funeral that I had to miss a couple of days in that period to get back home to Darwin to get to the funeral. And it was just a really disappointing part of the year. And I knew I wasn't going to be right to the prelim. And Bomber was pretty honest with me and said, if you can't play prelim, you're probably not going to make it into the grand final team if we get through. And I just wasn't right to play. And, you know, I tried to do everything I could to get my body right to play. But in the back of my mind was 08, but also to just having a good, honest conversation with myself about where I was at. And if I had to do it all over again, I wouldn't change a thing, because at the end of the day, a group got redemption for 08. And for me, and maybe sort of the makeup of who I am, was more important that we got redemption as a group than me trying to play in a grand final win one. So a lot of people ask me about the regret. I don't regret one thing about 09. And I cherish that 09 granny like I played, because the club, we went through the ringer with 08 and was able to then rectify the year later. Yes, it would be nice to have played, but at the same time, I think sometimes you've got to see the bigger picture.
Geez, it would have been a hard one to watch from the stands. The tension was unbearable in that game.
Well, I remember the cameras followed me a fair bit around, and I was so nervous that I won't tell the pass player who gave it to me, but they gave me a takeaway Coke drink at the MCG with a beer in it, because the cameras were following me around a lot. So to head my nerves, I was just sipping on light beers for the whole game. And yeah, it was a nerve-wracking game, but it was really proud to be able to watch and see how our boys handled that day and obviously get across the line.
Wasn't Dave Johnson, was it?
Probably was. No, it wasn't Dave Johnson.
So that wasn't the return of the OP? That was just a groin strain of sorts?
Yeah, I had a strain in the groin that happened in the qualifying final, and it was quite significant. So in reality, I was never a chance to play, but I think you've always got to try and do everything you can possibly to get yourself up. But I knew pretty much straight away that I was going to be the end of my campaign.
Yeah, and then as you say, Bomber went in and gave you the full clarity before the prelim. When you see them win by that much, there were no injury concerns. I guess you knew the writing was on the wall.
Yeah, I tried to kick a few boys in the shins on the way out, but it didn't happen. But yeah, I mean, for me, yeah, it was more about the greater good than an individual. And that's what our club's always been about.
So there was a redemption in 09, but your redemption came in 2011. I guess for the reasons of the way 09 played out, you had some personal challenges in the year before in 2010. I mean, how sweet was 2011 and that grand final win over Collingwood?
Now Bartel got it out somehow to Chapman, who threw it on the boot. Inside 50 it goes for the Cats. Stokes pounces and kicks the goal. Boy, they needed that one.
Yeah, that was sweet, as that was my favourite. I was able to share that with a lot of my family members as well, come down from Darwin. Beating Collingwood was always fun, especially on a grand final day. So the 2011 was, I've been through a career, been through the ringer a little bit. Some of my own fault, some of just being part of parcel of being an AFL footballer. But to be able to be, you know, 8 years into your career and have that success was really satisfying. And was able to then top off. And I think if you speak to anyone who's won a premiership, it just becomes addictive. So you just want to get back to it, or you at least get yourself in a position to be able to have a crack. So 2011 was really, really special. Also too, probably was a signal of the end of that era, because I think Otto and Lingy retired at the end of that. A couple other boys did as well. So, but it was a really special week, you know. Steve Johnson made it all about him with carrying on that he, you know, he wasn't going to play. And
there's the helicopters as well. That was a bit much.
Oh, that was funny. I mean, you know, Dogger was hilarious that week, but then also too, to turn it on in that game was incredible to watch. But yeah, it was special and something that I hold dearly with that one. And unfortunately, we had a couple of older players who missed out on that, with Darren Milburn and Cameron Ling, who I'm really close with. But it was sort of the changing of the guard, you know, Scotty coming in, taking control of that group, which would have been bloody hard, because that group was, a very stubborn and very close-knit group. So for him to come in and be able to just change a few things in that group to be able to then give us another crack was amazing. Amazing effort by him, but also to our group to be able to listen and be able to change on the go was pretty incredible.
And I don't know how sharp your memory is of the game itself, but half time, I think you're actually down by 3 points. I mean, did you anticipate that second half? I think it was 10-3 in the second era of this game.
No, I do remember. I do anticipate it pretty well. I remember Hawkey taking the game over.
He gets up again, and then Hawkins does it again! Tommy Hawkins on the big stage kicks his third! Hawkins again! Oh, this is amazing! Who is this man? Where has he come from?
And then I remember Jimmy Bartel having a big snap on the boundary, to put us a few up, and then he kicked another one about 50 out, which really put us away.
Almost 200,000 eyeballs here at the ground watching Jimmy Bartel, and a kick which has got there.
The best thing that I remember 2011 was 2007. All the young guys got to go on the bench. So I was on the bench with Burnsy, myself, Joel Selwood, and all the older blokes were on there. And 2011, they were trying to get me off, and I just told them to go get effed. I was like, I'm staying on the ground here.
Yes.
And I actually then, Lingy was on the bench, and he was the last person. I'm like, I've got to get the premiership captain on. So I got given the marching order to come off for Lingy. So I looked over to the bench, and if anyone's seen Lingy angry, it's not the prettiest sight. So I thought I'd better get off just to make it better for everyone else. So, and I think, getting him on, you know, was, I wanted to stay on there, but, you know, Lingy deserved that opportunity to be able to be the premiership captain, but also share it with his guys.
And again, I don't know how sharp your memory is. Was that, did he then kick that goal after he came back on, or was that before he went off? Do you remember that late goal? I wonder if that
happened. Yeah, he kicked that last goal. Yeah, I think he come on. I think he went off after that.
Right.
I ran off. I didn't run off. I got told to come off. So, which is all part of it, which is all part of the stories.
Harry O'Brien deep in defence. Oh, short one. Johnson slips over. Varco to the captain. This would be sweet. A sweet goal to Cameron Ling.
Now, before we set you on your way, it looks like we got you in the office today. Tell us what you're up to now.
I've got my own business, the Larrakia Villa. So we're out of Lovington North here. Which is great set up. We've got about 60 employees across the board here. We work in traffic management, asphalting, concreting, and entity trucks. So in the civil construction game and been in this for about 2 or 3 years now. So really enjoy being away from footy. I think footy was never a big motivator for me. It was something that I didn't love doing it, but didn't define me as an individual. So, yeah, started this business about two years ago and love it.
It's been an absolute pleasure to catch up with you on Grand Final weekend, Stokes. Now, your contribution to those unbelievably good Geelong sides in years past certainly won't be forgotten anytime soon, nor will that selflessness of 09 and that dislocated kneecap will only grow more painful and more dramatic in the reunions to come, I'm sure. Well done on what you achieved. Thanks again for joining us, mate.
Nah, thanks very much.
We've reached half time on this grand final edition of This Is Your Journey, brought to you by Tobin Brothers Funerals, celebrating lives. Jump online, you can find them at tobinbrothers.com.au. Paul Williams was a Collingwood mainstay for 10 seasons, but a trade to Sydney in late 2000 was the stepping stone to finally breaking through in 2005 and at the age of 32 to winning a premiership. The Swans' dual Bob Skilton medalist and All-Australian is up next.
You're listening to This Is Your Journey with Sam Edmund. For Tobin Brothers Funerals, visit tobinbrothers.com.au. Tobin Brothers Funerals, celebrating lives. Welcome to This Is Your Journey with Sam Edmund. For Tobin Brothers Funerals, visit tobinbrothers.com.au. Tobin Brothers Funerals, celebrating lives.
Hello, we hope you're enjoying this week's edition of This Is Your Journey. We're talking to two men who have saluted on AFL Grand Final Day, and Matthew Stokes now makes way for Paul Williams. Paul played 306 AFL games, 189 for the Pies and 117 for the Swans, getting that premiership medal in the nick of time in that dramatic 05 decider. Paul, welcome. Thanks a lot for your time.
Oh, thanks for having me. Very much appreciate it.
Now, what's your primary emotion or thought, you know, when the words grand final are mentioned? Does your mind wander back quickly and almost automatically?
Oh, yeah, almost. I think it's just a great week. I think the whole week is something that you just don't realise that anything about it until you actually experience it. So it was a wonderful week for us back in 05 and got some great mates out of it.
And is there a thought that comes to mind, you know, more readily than anything else, perhaps a lasting image?
I think the how hard it is. Like, it's so hard. It's so hard to even get there. Like, it's so sad for the ones that lose as well. So it's so hard to get there, and you just got to do everything you can to get that little medallion around your neck at the end.
Well, if we just pull that thread a little bit further, I mean, plenty of players have toiled and actually had great careers, but by virtue of the fact that they're, you know, drafted to the wrong club at the wrong time or, you know, victims of circumstance, really, they don't win or in some cases don't even get close to a flag. And for a while, I suppose it looked like that might be your lot at the Pies.
Yeah, it did. I was lucky enough to get drafted, I think it was 1989. I was picked 72, I think, from memory. And then I stayed in Tassie, played against the local comp against the men in 1990, and clearly watched the team closely then. And, you know, they won so well in that 1990 flag. And look, as a kid, you think, oh, geez, we're a chance to win it again next year and the year after and whatever. And it just didn't happen for a myriad of reasons. It just didn't happen. And then in the end, look, I'd only played in 10 years of playing for the Pies, I only played in one final. So that was part of the reason why I needed to go somewhere else.
Yeah. So I had a look back. In the 10 seasons you actually play a senior game at Collingwood, the last six of them are losing seasons, and the last couple, you know, heavily losing seasons. So it was some pretty tough years there.
Yeah, no, it was really tough. And I've got great empathy for the sides at the minute, and, you know, the North Melbournes, et cetera, that are going through a fair bit, and it does get through the other side, and it's hard to see that at the minute when you're probably in the blue and white sort of Guernsey at the minute, but it is hard to see that, but it does change, and that's the thing that you just got to keep being positive and optimistic and do the right thing, train hard, and who knows what happens.
So how did the trade, Paul, to Sydney come about after the 2000 season? I think Mick Malthouse had just come in or was coming in. How did the actual trade, you know, come about?
Yeah, well, I think it was like I was getting a little bit upset with the fact that we weren't playing finals, and I was 26, sort of turning 27, and I thought, I need to have a serious conversation with Mick, and I think it was Neil Barham at the time, and I said, come over to my place, and I want to have a chat to you. I know I'm still contracted, but I'm not real happy about everything. I thought that we'd be doing better than what we were. And then that morning of the meeting at my place, Barmy rings me in, and Mick is a no-show. So he didn't turn up and for whatever reason. And I said to Neil, I said, well, that's enough message for me. I'm out. So that's the whole reason. And it was a bit disappointing. Like, the rumours going around at the time was around Bucks and myself having falling out and all that sort of stuff, and it wasn't the case. That was far from the truth. And it was more the fact that I wanted to have a chat with a couple of the hierarchy, and only one of them turned up.
Yeah. Did that hurt you at the time, or were you water off a duck's back?
It definitely hurt me at the time. And, like, you know, my grey-haired advice now would be to myself, suck it up, princess, and wait till next week and have a conversation. But in essence, I end up playing in a flag for the Swannies. But if I'd stayed, who knows, I might have played in two for the fight. So, you know, who knows what could have happened. It's a little bit, and it's interesting. It's a little bit different being a player that's played, you know, a bit of footy at both clubs. You're a little bit, your left leg goes to the Swans, your right leg goes to the Pies. And that's one regret that I do have, that I wasn't a one club player. And if I had my time again, I probably would have changed that.
Yeah, these are the sliding doors moments, aren't they? And what were your first impressions of life at the Swans, Paul? And life out of Melbourne, I suppose, the only club you'd ever known, Collingwood. I mean, Rodney Eade is the senior coach, of course. What was your initial impression of life at the SCG?
Well, Rocket was an unbelievable coach. Like, he actually coached me in the Allies in 95, and I knew that he was really clever, the way that he did things, and I was happy. And being a Tassie boy as well, we were a bit connected that way. And when he tried to get me there in 99, and I said, no, I'm not going. And then he did it again in 2000, and I opened the door, perhaps going, and end up going. And the guys, I really respected Paul Kelly, you know, Andrew Dunkley, Darren Creswell, Wayne Swass, and, you know, Dale Lewis, all those probably older guys at the Swans. And I think I wanted to get out of Melbourne. That was the other thing that really attracted me to going to Sydney. So, but the footy club is, like, clearly, like, it's one of the best things that's ever happened to me. Like, they're a great footy club. They stick by their people. They're a very tight group. The management down to the boot starter basically are all on the same page. That makes it not easy, but it makes it better to be able to do something pretty special.
You certainly started well up there anyway. It looked as though from the outside looking in, you adjusted quickly because you had the two best and fairest in your first two seasons up there.
Chance to be involved in a Swans goal. Williams off the left. Great strike. He's been a good goal kicker over his career, though, Paul Williams. Over 300 of them through the middle. So he knows where they are.
Yeah. I think the change in climate and state was really good for me. And the environment was conducive to play really good footy. I used to go to the milk bar here in Melbourne and come back 45 minutes later because the owner would ask me about the third quarter and then the fourth quarter, what happened. And in Sydney, I'd be home in 4 minutes. So it's a different lifestyle up there. It's warmer too. Like, I think my joints, my body and everything enjoyed the warmer climate as well. So, you know, there's a lot of things that come into it, but it's a great footy club. It's stood the test of time.
We're talking to Sydney Premiership player and dual best and fairest winner Paul Williams on This Is Your Journey. Thanks to Tobin Brothers Funerals celebrating lives. We'll be right back with Paul to discuss that magical 2005 season at the Swans.
Welcome to This Is Your Journey with Sam Edmund for Tobin Brothers Funerals. Visit tobinbrothers.com.au. Tobin Brothers Funerals, celebrating lives. Welcome to This Is Your Journey with Sam Edmund for Tobin Brothers Funerals. Visit tobinbrothers.com.au. Tobin Brothers Funerals, celebrating lives.
It's been great to have your company here on This Is Your Journey. Thanks to Tobin Brothers at Funerals, a family-owned business since 1934. Matthew Stokes and Paul Williams have been our guests today. So, Paul Roos takes over as coach in 2002, and there's significant improvement, and you're soon contending. But take us straight to 2005. Now, you finished third, 15 wins. You lose that first final to West Coast by 4 points at Subi. Actually, turns out to be the first in a five-game sequence where Eagles-Swans game were decided by 4 points or less, which is extraordinary. But what level of faith was there that you could go the long way around to the grand final?
Yeah, no, there was a lot of faith. I think the that qualifying final there was that silly umpiring decision with Leo Barry and Zenglon, I think it was, where he came off the mark and checked him a little bit and he got a free kick, kicked the goal. And well, that was clearly a difference in the game. But we knew that if we stuck by what Roosie and the coaching staff gave us, that we'd win. And it was interesting that the night before the game, like Roosie actually said to us, and we believed it, you know, whether we were rightfully or wrongly believed it, we absolutely believed it. He said if you stick to the game plan and also the seven different indicators that we live by, we'll win.
Mm.
I guarantee you a victory. And that was pretty powerful. I sat back and I've gone, Jesus, yeah, I believe that. I reckon if we do that, we're a very, very good chance. And we only just got there, but it was still... We still hit all the markers that we had to hit, and we end up winning.
Yeah, there was a remarkable resilience about those Swan sides, and 06 the same. I mean, you had undoubted talent, but there was a real blue-collar nature to you as well. And, I mean, Nick Davis has had a busy week this week, again recounting his heroics from the semi-final win against Geelong. But was that one of the more remarkable wins you've been a part of, Paul?
Oh, it was. And like in the qualifying final, I got a really bad corky right at the end of the game, and I remember this vividly. We were doing a warm-up before the game and Nick tackled me in the warm-up and he re-corked my corky and it shut down my leg. So I couldn't kick on my right leg for the whole of that game. And I actually had my arm around Roosie in the theme song and I said, listen, I'm done. I can't kick.
Really?
Can you get someone else to replace me? And he goes, no, it's too late. I said, all right, I'll go as hard as I can, as long as I can. And I only played a bit over a half, and I hated Nick Davis the whole game until that last quarter. I ended up loving him and buying him all sorts of things. It's a funny game.
Yeah.
It's a very funny game.
Well, no one saw that coming. And what of grand final day? I mean, Barry Hall got off at the tribunal during the week. That was massive. Now, you're 32.
It was massive.
You finally got yourself to a grand final, and the Swans... You know, in concert with you almost, have the longest premiership drought in football history at 72 years. I mean, what was your mental state going in?
Yeah, well, initially it was like I'm so excited to be there. I wanted to enjoy the week. Never experienced it before over, you know, 14 seasons before that. Oh, no, 15 seasons before that. Wanted to enjoy that. I was really obviously worried that the big fella up forward in Hawley might not be there, and he was so important to the way that we played, and obviously clearly very happy that the club took it to the length that they took it to clear him and got him to play, and he played a really important role for us. And I reckon that probably 5 or 10 minutes after the siren goes, if you could bottle that emotion / energy, you'd be a very wealthy man. It was an incredible feeling.
Yeah, the game was incredibly tense. I mean, you got out early, they brought you back, then they edged ahead in the last, and you brought them back. Who was your matchup, primary matchup on the day, Paul? Did you have one? Or?
Yeah, no, I would normally match up with Cousins or Judd that day, and Roosie decided to change it, started back, and they were taking me back to the back sort of pocket, and a different game back then where you probably stayed your zone area a little bit more than what you do today. And at half time, I felt really fresh, and and Cousins and Judd sort of got away from us a little bit. And I just said to Ross Lyon and Roosie, I said, I'm feeling really fresh and I know I can get them. Let me barn them. And second half, I sort of got a more of an on-ball role and had more influence in the game. And it was a much better result in the end for me and the team, which is good.
Buchanan puts them in front.
Now, where were you when Leo Barry took that now iconic and famous mark?
So Leo Barry in the back pocket. Heads along the boundary line. Oh, good mark by Cox. Cox throws it onto the left. One last roll of the dice for the Eagles!
I ran straight behind the pack, so you can sort of see me. I'm the last person behind the pack, just in case it got over the back. I just thought I've just got to protect the back because if it gets out there, I've got to get it and take off the other side of the ground. So I was very, very happy that the great man took that mark, one of the iconic marks in finals history, and which he deserves every credit that he gets, but if you look back, if you dial back on the clock, he's the man that actually kicked it in the cocks in the first place. So yeah. He had to mark it.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I've rewatched it before and noticed that. So 4 points, the closest grand final since the 77 draw at that stage, Paul. I remember being there. It was a really emotional grand final. You know, lots of tears in the outer from the long-suffering South Melbourne supporters, long-suffering Sydney supporters who have been kicked and downtrodden for so long. Did you have a grasp of that as a player, that sort of emotional energy amongst your fan base?
You sort of knew it, but it became really real when we won it. And I think that's very special and stays very special in your mind and your heart. Just even doing the lap of honour at the end of it and seeing all the tears from all the red and white was very, very special and something I'll never ever forget.
So Chris Judd won the Norm Smith, of course, but who won it for your celebrations, you reckon, in the aftermath?
No, there was, you couldn't split it. There was many. There was many that were very, very good in that space. So I think Mickey O'Loughlin was clearly our leader in the entertainment space and well-loved by everyone at the club and clearly still well-loved now and just a great human.
Hey, Paul, thanks so much for joining us today. It's been great to have you and Matty Stokes on to reminisce on AFL Grand Final Day. Without a doubt, one of the great events in the Australian sporting calendar, and it's a day that enhances reputations, enshrines its most heroic deeds. Well done on everything you achieved, mate, and thanks a lot for sharing it with us today.
No, thanks, mate.
And thank you for joining us also. You've been listening to This Is Your Journey for Tobin Brothers Funerals, Celebrating Lives. You can jump online to find them at tobinbrothers.com.au, and we'll catch you the next time we celebrate another great sporting journey.
Want to witness the world's biggest football game? Head to iCanWin.com.au, predict Australia's score with a crystal ball, and it could be you and a friend at the FIFA World Cup Qatar 2022 semi-finals, all thanks to McDonald's. Maccas, together and loving it. TNCs apply.